I'm privileged and honored to minister to you. Psalm 89, verses 19 to 29, and verses 33 to 37. Please let us hear the word of God. Then thou speakest in vision to thy Holy One, and said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exert upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, the rock of my salvation. Also, I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. By mercy will I keep for him forevermore. His seed also will I make to endure forever. His seed also will I make to endure forever. My covenant shall stand fast with him. My covenant shall stand fast with him. Verse 33. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor utter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven. Here ends the word of God. Amen.
Hallelujah. We thank the Lord for his anointed servant. Amen. And the anointing upon his life is going to increase and increase and increase and increase. As his years, so shall his anointing be. Amen. At this point, we are going to welcome the fresh breeze to give us a song. Amen. Encourage them as they come. Out for you, but I fall. Sometimes she seems so close and yet so far.
Oh, I need another chance. Oh, yeah. Need to know your mercy. Please give me the strength.
With thee, I know that I'm not all that I can.
you are here. I know that I will make it every step along the way. Please hear my prayer.
A heart like yours is my desire. A heart like yours is what I'm searching for. Full of compassion, nothing wrong with it. Please hear me, Lord, give me a heart like yours.
So much grace, so much kindness,
so much faith,
strong as the wind, soft as the shadow.
If just once I can be like you,
a heart like yours is my desire.
This person, you and I know already, is a very passionate person. Bishop E.A.T. Saki is a pastor of pastors. I mean, when you go through the UD, you hear a lot of people, even bishops. I see bishops who say that he is their pastor. And I testify to that. Very warm, passionate, caring, anointed, astute. That's what that Sir Boy was trying to say. Ebullient. With strength. That is indefatigable. Ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome my pastor, your pastor, my mentor, the Bishop E.A.T. Saki.
I said hallelujah. Lift up your Bibles up high in your hands, high above your head. Yeah, Bible or something that resembles a Bible. Lift it up high. Let's go.
I have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God. We without measure. We will travel together. Treasure, the gift of God without measure. We will travel together. My Bible and I have a wonderful treasure. We will travel together. My Bible and I.
Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. We appreciate you and we love you. Grateful for every opportunity we have to receive your word. Thank you for the joy of serving you and the privilege of pastoring these wonderful people. Thank you for the honor of sharing your word with your children. I pray that your word will be relevant and applicable to us. Show us your way and teach us your path. Be glorified in every life here this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Sit on top of your enemies. Hallelujah. I've been warned to preach briefly this morning. Rempazi has warned me to preach, to be short, because other things have to be done. But anyway, I want to thank all of you for show of love and appreciation. Amen. I am grateful that I'm your pastor. God has had mercy on me to make me your pastor. Amen. And I enjoy pastoring you. And I believe that God is gracious and will help us along the way. Say amen. I'm happy to see my wife here on my birthday. My birth celebration is fantastic. She didn't tell me she was coming. Meanwhile, we are in the same bed. Woke up, dressed up, gave her a kiss before I left home. And she said, I'll see you when I see you. But it was a loaded statement. Anyway, hello? It's very loud on the stage. Very loud on the stage. All right. Well, let me just share with you very briefly and then we carry on. First of all, like I think Reverend Percy said it, we are honored to be partakers of the launch of the 100 million souls. Amen. It's such a great honor to be part of it. So I want to implore all of us to make the effort and the time to be there, because we've been specially invited to participate in this program, to be present at the launch. Some of you are not there first time that Hinges was launched. You're not there when 10 million souls were launched. But you'll be privileged to be there to see the launch of 100 million souls. Amen. And many of you have not been to the First Love Center before. You've only seen it on stage. And it's just a great privilege for us to be invited to be part of this great work. So I want to encourage all of us to make the journey. You don't know when next the invitation will come. So I really want you to make the effort and go there. Amen. Right. And what else? There's another announcement that I seem to have forgotten. Right. Anyway, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been talking about, still loud on the stage, I've been talking about the mysteries of the kingdom. Somebody say, the mysteries of the kingdom. I did not hear you at all. Louder. Amen. And we talked about, several mysteries. We talked about the mysteries of godliness. Do you remember? How it's important to be like God, godly, becoming like God. And what are the things that will make us become like God? Our character, our behavior, the things we say, the way we conduct ourselves, becoming godly. And godliness is there's gain in godliness. Amen. Right. And then what do we talk about? We also talked about the mystery of inclusion. Do you remember that we're not qualified, but God has shown us mercy and has included us in. And last week we talked about the mystery of his will. The will of God is mysterious. Amen. The will of God is amazing. You will not see it clearly. Some we pray, we ask God for many things. You know, in the book of Job, Job says that when I look behind me, I can't see God. I can't see God. When I look in front of me, I can't see God. When I look at my right hand, I can't see God. When I look at my left hand, where he is working, I still cannot see him. Sometimes God appears to be far away from us. But Job said, when I look at my left, where he is at work, I cannot see him. The fact of the matter is that you may not see God, but he's working on your behalf. Somebody should have shouted amen. You may not see him, but work is going on. Tell your neighbor, work is going on. Hallelujah. Why did Job talk about his left? His left side is the sign of place of weakness. But that's the place where God is working. God is working at every shortcoming in your life. God is working a great work in your life. At the end of the day, we'll see God's mighty hand manifested. That is why Paul wrote and said, for we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God. Amen. And he talked about prayer. We don't know how to pray as we ought to, but the Spirit prays on our behalf, intercedes on our behalf. And we know that all things work together for the good. May you see the good of what is working in your life. Are you still in church? I said, are you still in church? God, at the end of the day, you will know it's worth serving God. At the end of the day, God will come through for you. Your story shall be beautiful. Push your neighbor and tell him your story shall be beautiful. Hallelujah. That is why every time you are traveling or you are doing anything, you must always say, if the Lord wills. Amen. If the Lord wills. Don't beat your chest and speak like you own tomorrow. We don't own tomorrow. God gives us tomorrow. God gives us the days after. God gives us the breath that we breathe. So he said, when you want to do anything, say that if the Lord wills, then I will go here and I'll do this. Some of us are very good planners. You're very melancholic. You've written out your plan for the week, your plan for the month, your plan for the year, and your five-year plan, agenda. How things are going to turn out. Even some of you have the year up to the year 2030. How you plan out your life to be. After school, when I get married, I have 4 children, and then I go to America and go and do a course for 1 year. And when I come back, I'll build a house at Tantra Hills. And then when I build a house, you have it all written out. There's nothing wrong in planning, but you must always say, if the Lord wills. Somebody say amen. And the will of God is beautiful. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So now briefly, I think that's all we've talked about so far, isn't it? We are going to be talking about the mystery of iniquity, the effect of sin on your life, the mystery of iniquity, and then the mystery of prayer, mystery. But today we're going to talk about the mystery of marriage. Somebody say amen. And it's going to be short because of the instruction I received from Reverend Pazzi. The mystery of marriage. Turn your Bible with me to... Okay, let's look at two passages of scripture. Of course, Ephesians chapter 5 from verse number 22. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 22. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Right. And I want you, okay, can we all stand to our feet so that I know you are here with me and we read together? 22 to the end. All right. Now read out the step, everybody apart from yourself. Ready, go. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Read on. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. 27. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spots or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. And 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. 31. Shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And the final verse, 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverences her husband. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Still standing, look at Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 18 and 19. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 18 and 19. And let's all read it out right now. Ready, go. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. 19. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Sit on top of your enemies. Now, that second passage, let's read it from there. I want to read it to you from the New Living Translation. New Living Translation. At verse 18, first. There are three things that amaze me. No, four things that I don't understand. Tell your neighbor, I don't understand. Number one, how an eagle glides through the sky. Number two, how a snake slithers on the rock. Three, how a ship navigates on the ocean. And four, how a man loves a woman. Hallelujah. He said there are three, yeah, four that I don't understand when I see the way the eagle glides. You see, the sky with all the winds and so on, the eagle is able to glide and move in the sky. It's wonderful. Isn't it wonderful? Good to see you back. Hallelujah. Amen. And then the second one is the snake moving, slithers on the rock. You see a snake on the rock. The rock is very hard and slippery. The snake is able to move on it in a way. He said that I couldn't understand it. And then how a ship navigates, a big, huge ship is sitting on the water and it's not sinking. It navigates its way in the water. And then number four, how a man loves a woman. And then I mean to say, I don't understand it. Do you understand it? Who here has been in love before? Can I see a wave of your hand? Don't pretend. Hey, don't pretend. Who has been in love before? You have fallen in love before. Can I see? Wow. My wife, have you fallen in love before? Hallelujah. The man is saying that I don't understand. It's too wonderful. It amazes me. So we are looking at the mystery of marriage. Marriage is mysterious. Hallelujah. Are you here or going home? I said marriage is what? Now let's look at another passage of scripture. Maybe we read some scriptures and we close. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 25. Let's all read from the, let me read to you from the New Living Translation again. It says, now regarding your question about the young women who are not yet married, I do not have a command from the Lord for them, but the Lord in his mercy has given me wisdom that can be trusted, and I will share it with you. Because of the present crisis, I think it is best to remain as you are. What a shock. If you have a wife, do not seek to end the marriage. If you do not have a wife, do not seek to get married. Hey! This part, I know many of you don't like it. All right? Verse 28. But if you do get married, it is not a sin. You like this part, isn't it? And if a young man gets married, young woman gets married, it is not a sin. However, those who get married at this time will have troubles. And I'm trying to spare you those problems. Hey! There's everything in the Bible. What are you discussing in front here, Pastor Ben? What are you arguing about? The ladies are arguing with you. Why are they arguing with you? The The woman, Bible said the woman get trouble, and when they have trouble, they complain. Uh-huh. And what are the women saying also? Let Pastor Mans, what are you saying? You are not saying anything. Amen. Right. So, this is a very, very brief message I'm sharing with you today. It is mysterious. Isn't it mysterious that we want to get married? Isn't the Bible that anybody who marries will have trouble? Have I written the Bible? Did I write the Bible? Bible says anyone who will marry will have troubles. So why do you want to get married? Oh, you don't get what I'm saying? Yeah. This is my wife sitting here. She brought herself today. I didn't know she was coming. She's cried before. I've made her cry before. No, because every woman must cry sometimes. That makes you a woman. A woman who doesn't cry. When you are saying the ding ding, it's not a good thing. I'm a Tarzan. Your eyes under is too hard. Yes. Your wife has cried before. You're following her. You're a good follower. One or two cries must show that she's feminine. This type of woman who fight and don't cry. That is not good. Roland, has your wife cried before? Many, several times. I know you. You're a rascal. That's why your wife cries. But don't worry. You know, Bible says that if you marry, you have trouble. So why do you want to get married? That's why we call it a mystery. Amen? Like afflicity. You know that afflicity, you turn on the light, it's flying towards the light. But when they get there flying, the heat of the light kills them. But they are still flying towards the light. You see all your brothers on the floor, but the rest are still flying towards the light. It's a mystery. Are you still in church? No, what I'm saying to all of us here is that, you know, when Paul was writing and says that, I don't understand it. When the wisest man, Solomon, he said, this one, I don't understand it. A man in love with a woman. He is supposed to be the wisest man. Wrote all the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. But I said, this one, I don't understand it. In all my wisdom, isn't God who gave Solomon wisdom? But someone said that this one, I don't understand it. A woman, a man in love.
It's amazing. It's fantastic.
Amazing. Amazing. Hallelujah. And we see throughout the Bible, when God created Adam and Eve and they moved on and God told them that after they sinned against God, God said the woman is going to suffer with this. And he said that your desire shall be the man. God told the woman, it's one of the cases. God said, you struggle in your childbed and your desire shall be to the man. Yes. Your desire shall be for the man, you the woman. So it is one of the cases that we are all fulfilling. Every time I officiate a wedding, I'm fulfilling a case. Because Bible says that the desire of the woman shall be for the man. Because when God created the woman, man was already there. Isn't it? So man was the one who was alone. So the original plan, when God saw man was alone, God created the woman. But when the fall came, now the sin turned, and the woman is now looking up to the man. What a shock. The place is very quiet. It must be. Yes. It's a operating case. Active case. Still working. Nana, isn't it? Has your wife cried before? So many times. Some of you husbands, you are bad boys. All of you say many times, several times, so many times. Has your wife cried before?
Couple of times.
Bebre, Reverend Ben. All the people are saying that your wife there, they cannot count the number of times. Maybe I've seen her cry before you, because of you. What a shock. But we still want it. We still want it. It's a mystery. Tell anybody it's a mystery. A mystery is a divine secret. Something that you don't know. You want to see a man in love with a woman. You don't know why.
Yes, Bishop.
The man is doing things. You can't sleep. The woman can't sleep. Waiting for a text message. Waiting for a phone call. Will you call? Every time you're looking, you're holding your phone like a Bible. Waiting for the call. Will you call? Will you call? He said he will call. 9 o'clock, 9:15, 9:55, 10:30. And he will call. Will you call? And you don't feel like calling, but you don't want to call, but you really feel like calling. And when sometimes you see somebody holding the phone, any phone. And then, like Abadam, because I see a text from the beloved. Hey! One of our pastor's son, he said that my father is always doing all my, it's what as a pastor said, every time I see my father talking to a lady, a gentleman, or a couple, he's either telling them why they should marry, and then later on, he's telling them why they should stay married. Because after he tells them and they marry, he's always telling them why they should not divorce, they should marry. That's all my father spent the time doing. That's the summary of the pastor's work. What a shock. It's a mystery. But there's beauty in marriage. You should have said amen. If you hit it at the right spot, you'll see the beauty in marriage. May you hit it at the right spot. May you back the right horse. Hallelujah. Because the reason why this thing that is supposed to be a blessing is often a problem is because we often don't see God's guidance and God's direction. Many of you young men, you're only impressed with breasts and bottoms. Many of you young ladies, you're only impressed with BMW and car keys. That's all you were impressed with. That is the reason why the thing that is so beautiful is become a curse and a problem to us. I'm preaching. Are you still in church? Many of you, you are looking at shape. You're more interested in shape than spirituality. You're more interested in the shape of the lady than whether she's spiritual, she's serving God actively, she's involved in ministry. You are more interested in shape than spirituality. But shape will not bring the satisfaction that you want. Yeah. I'm preaching. I said I'm preaching. Are you still in church? No, I'm telling you. Many ladies are looking for a thick, tall man with six packs. Not one pack like my own. Mine is just one pack. Yours is two. Yes, two pack. Thick, tall man with six pack. You are making a major mistake. Hello? But you see, I'm saying to everybody here that you can hit it
and it will become like jackpot. You can hit it well, and you know that I've hit a jackpot. May God direct you aright in your marriage in the name of Jesus. For those who are not married, if you are married, may God bring sweetness into your marriage. May your marriage be like when Jesus went to the wedding and turned the water into wine. And the man said that the new wine is nicer than the old wine. May you enter a new season of sweetness, happiness, fulfillment, and excitement. Lift your hand and say, I receive it. Are you still in church? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hey. Zane, you say I receive it. What are you receiving? Hello? Are you here? Are you still here? But anyway, I'm just saying this to see what did Paul say? I'm just going to give you 2 points concerning a man and concerning a woman, and then we close. You know, Paul said that I speak what I say. It's a mystery. Husbands ought to love their wife as Christ loved the church. Wife, submit yourself to your husband as the church is subject to Christ and all that. And Paul wrote and wrote on, and he said that what I'm saying there, it is a mystery. But I'm speaking concerning Christ and the church. Amen. Now, what is the mystery about it? There are two. I will summarize the man's duty in 2 words and the woman's duty in 2 words. Let me start with the woman. For the mystery to be unraveled, for you to enjoy the mystery of marriage, the woman must be submissive and supportive. These are the only 2 things that will make the beauty of marriage come out. Submissive and supportive. Let's all say it together. Submissive and supportive. I cannot hear you. I did not hear you at all. These are the 2 things that will make every marriage, at least from the woman's point of view, bring a certain fulfillment and satisfaction. Submission and support. If you are submissive and supportive, your duty is summarized here. Can I have an amen? Every man is looking for a woman who will be submissive to him. I'm preaching. You don't want a woman who will challenge you. Not that she will not speak her mind, but in speaking her mind, you can see the beauty of submission. Now the Bible says that compare the way the church is subject to Christ to the way the woman is subject to her husband. The way the woman is submissive to her husband. Is it like, look at the way that when we come to church, we are kneeling down. We are lifting our hands. We are lying down. We are praying. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And so the Bible says that when you come to church, sisters, look at the way we lie down and say, Lord, we thank you. And in the same way, you to lie down for your husband and be subject to your husband. As the church is subject to Christ. I know why you're not saying amen. Yeah. The Bible, that's what Paul said, that it's a mystery. I'm speaking concerning Christ and the church. So let the woman be subject. Let me show you 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 from verse 1. Amplified Bible. 1 Peter 3, 1 from Amplified Bible. In like manner, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands. Husbands to your own husband. That means subordinate yourself as being secondary to and dependent on them. Do you see that? No, the way you put the verse 1 again. Let's start. In like manner, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands, subordinate yourselves as being secondary to and dependent on them, and adapt yourselves to them. so that even if any do not obey the word of God, they may be won over not by discussion, but by the godly lives of the wives. Verse 2. When they observe the pure and modest way in which you conduct yourselves, together with your reverence for your husband, you are to feel. Does anybody have it here? Have it in your. So the guy is wasting my time. You are to feel for him all that reverence includes: to respect, to defer to revere him, and to honor him. Esteem, appreciate, prize, and in human sense, to adore, that is, to admire, praise, be devoted to, deeply love, and enjoy your husband. You have it here. Open for me. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Now, it is the amplifier is amplifying that scripture. Okay. Let me read it here so that you can understand. The break was too much. Now, it says that, let me read it. Listen, are you listening? I'm reading from verse 2. When you okay, from verse 1. It says, all right. Hey, you two are giving me problems, so. Where is it? Where is this one? Okay. In like manner, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands, to what? Your what? Your own. Say own. Some of you can argue with your husband, but you respect the pastor above it. You are not obeying the scripture. I almost use a word that I shouldn't use. Your own husband subordinates yourselves as being secondary to and dependent on them. Ladies, you should have said amen. Amen. Bible says that you must be secondary to and dependent on them. And adapt yourselves to them so that even if any do not obey the word of God, they may be won over not by discussion. Not by what? Not by what? Sisters, are you hearing what I'm saying? Not by what? Do you understand? Not by what? But by your godly lives. Amen. Now it says, when they observe the pure and modest way in which you conduct yourselves, together with your reverence for your husband, you are to feel for him all that reverence includes: to respect, to defer to revere him, to honor, to esteem, to appreciate, to prize, and in human sense, to adore him. That is, to admire, praise, be devoted, deeply love, and enjoy your husband. Is it true? Wow, I'm suspicious of your wow. Are you there? Let not yours be the merely external adorning with elaborate interweaving and knotting of the hair, the wearing of jewelry and or changing of clothes, but let it be the inward adorning and the beauty of the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible and unfading charm of a gentle and a peaceful spirit, which is not anxious or wrought up, but is very precious in the sight of God. Say amen. Amen. Now listen, all these things are telling us the importance of submission. Amen. Every lady, what will make you admirable and beautiful is not the hair you wear. It's not the flower on your hair, although the flower makes you look beautiful. Akwabalidi, stand up. When I talk, obey me now, I'm your bishop. Look at their hair. Look at what they are wearing on their hair. Is it nice? Yeah. It's not bad at all. But you see, your beauty is not in what is on your hair. Your real beauty is not in what is on your hair. We want you to dress well. We want you to wear all the nice things, but your real beauty, Bible says that it's in submission and submissiveness. That's where your beauty is. Because if you dress like this, but you are very quarrelsome, and you quarrel with your husband and everybody around you, you are not beautiful. Akwaba ladies, are you there? No, I'm telling you, some of you brothers, when you come and you see this sister, come. And she meets you at the entrance. Hello, smile, just smiles. Hello, where can't you? And let them see how you see how she's smiling. If this smile is what is going to slay you, then you are in trouble. You must smile, sisters, but smile is not all there is in marriage. You must know her character. As for the smiles, we have taught them that they should all smile. I've told them they should smile. That's why they are smiling. But maybe they don't like to smile. Maybe there's something about her. When she's angry, she can kick every bucket in the house. When she's angry, she can insult everyone, including your great-grandmother. No, not you. She's different. So I'm telling you that this is beautiful. But Bible said, let your beauty be the inward one of a gentle and a quiet spirit. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let there be gentleness inside of you. Let there be some sweetness inside. I've officiated more than 500 marriages. I've counseled so many couples. And I know what I'm talking about. That all that glitters is not gold. Can anybody say amen? Yeah. So take your time, brother. Don't just let your sin rise because the sister has smiled at you. Tell your sin to lie down in the name of Jesus. Name it, claim it, and take it. Are you still here? But you see, as you keep coming to church, as you keep hearing the word, let the word affect your spirits. Let the word affect your character. Let the word affect the way you behave. So that anybody who marries you would have hit jackpots. Come on, shout amen. A gentle and a quiet spirit. Amen. Clap for her. Don't sit down. Yes, keep standing. You want to sit down. I'll cover ladies. You stand till I finish preaching. Hello. Submissiveness and supporting. So submissive to your husband and also supportive. Because Jesus gave the mandate to the church. Go and preach. And the church is supposed to support supposed to support the work of the head. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Are you there? Yes. It's supposed to support the church is supposed to support Christ, who is the head. So every wife, to be able to be a good wife, you must be submissive and supportive. Wow. Some wives are opposition leaders in their house. Yes. You are looking at me. I am talking and I'm preaching. They can oppose everything the man does. Everything the man does is wrong. Everything the man is a mistake. One man told me that the lady said, my husband doesn't do anything in the house. The man, I said, according, why don't you do anything? The man said, my wife, as far as my wife is concerned, I don't do anything right. If I put a television, it should have been here. If I do this, so now I said, do what you want. You can even hang the television, I don't care. The man said, I will not even change the bulb in the house. Because as far as my wife is concerned, nothing I do is good. Nothing I do is right. But you see, when your husband comes up with an idea, don't kill the idea. Because it will never support the idea. Run with it. If it doesn't work, say, I'm still by your side. I'm still supporting, and God is going to help us. Let somebody shout amen. May you be a submissive and a supportive woman. Am I preaching to anybody here? Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is how the church is to Christ. The church is submissive and supportive. We support the work. We give to build churches. Because Jesus said, I'll build my church. When he said, I'll build my church, all of us as a church, we are supporting Christ in building the church. Because we are supportive and also submissive. And that is how a wife must be. I don't like the way you're looking at me, some of you ladies. But I will not stop preaching. I'm preaching. And then the final part, the man. The man's duty is also summarized in two: love and sacrifice. Somebody say love and sacrifice. I didn't hear you. I did not hear you. Amen. The Bible says that Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. This is so, every woman must be submissive and supportive, but the man must be loving and sacrificial. Some men are wicked. You think I'll finish the woman? I'm coming to you right where you are. I'm coming for you. Yes. Those guys, they didn't come to church. A husband must be loving. Did you hear what I said? Now you see, how do you test love? When you hear the word love, let it pass through 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patience. You get angry with your wife so easily. You don't love her. That's why every little thing irritates you. Because love is patience. Love is kind. Are you kind to your wife? Are you kind to your wife? When was the last time you bought a gift for your wife? I'm preaching. Love is kind. Put up there, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Love is kind. Love is patient. The more modern version, NLT or something, charity is an old word. All right? Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not boastful. Some of you men, you boast too much. So small car you have bought. Yeah, every day. You're always it's a small car that you have bought that your wife is also using small. You, where do you come from? Has your grandfather bought a car before? Hey! Love is not boastful. Amen. Some of you remember where you were when your wife married you. You were nothing. But as the years have gone by, you have been promoted. Things have gotten better. Remember the one who loved you when you didn't have anything. And stop boasting. Love is not boastful. I'm preaching. I said I'm preaching. Amen. Love is not proud. Hallelujah. Every little thing, I'll throw your things out. You throw her things out? What do you mean by throw her things out? Love is not what? Rude. Love does not demand its own. Does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. Irritable. It does not keep no record of being wronged. And so all I'm saying to everybody here is that when you claim you love your wife, pass it through 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And see whether you really love her. Amen. You really love her? Do you really love her? Do you care about her? Her interest important to you? Since you did it, it took 6 pieces of cloth for engagement. You have never bought her anything, nothing. You have not bought even a pin. You must know how to buy wig for your wife. I bought 3 or 4 wigs for my wife. She has not worn them yet. More than 2 years ago. So I'm waiting for her to wear them. Then I can buy a dozen. Amen. You must know how to buy underwear for your wife. You must know, first of all, you must know her size. Don't go and buy bola for her, and she's wearing like boxer shorts. Your wife doesn't wear boxer shorts. She wears proper underwear. I'm preaching. My time is up, isn't it? Amen. It's a mystery. The way Christ loved the church. You men also ought to love your wives. And then number 2, sacrifice. Christ sacrificed his life. The head. Many of us, when we like the head, and the head, and the head. The head loves and sacrifices. Head is not just a sign of authority. It's a sign of love and sacrifice. I'm preaching. Somebody says she'll buy the tea for her husband. Are you there? Sacrifice. How much do you sacrifice for her? You want to watch your soccer. Your wife also wants to watch something else. Would you be able to sacrifice? Say, okay, you watch what you want to watch so that I will watch my soccer later, highlights later. That will bring some problems to the house, isn't it? I'm telling you. I'm preaching. I said I'm preaching. How much sacrifice do you make? How much sacrifice do you make? Women, all we need is 2 pairs of shoes. We can wear them for 3 years. A woman needs, if a man needs 1, a woman needs 12. So you must understand. I say you must understand. You buy black shoes for yourself. Buy blue one for her, red one for her, yellow one for her, green one for her, sacrifice for her. That is how God made them. I'm preaching. You see, they are finding me. I'm preaching. Hallelujah. That is called sacrifice. Wear your black one and wear your black and brown. That's all. Just wear it. Because we don't notice your shoes, but we notice their shoes. Stand to your feet and let's close. Reverend Pastor said I shouldn't preach for a long time. The woman, what are the 2 demands of the woman? Submissive and supportive. What are the 2 demands of a husband? Love and sacrifice. Lift your 2 hands up high and bless the name of the Lord right now. Bless him. Father, we thank you. Everybody lift your 2 hands up high. Whether you are married or not, lift your hands up. Say, Lord, I want to fulfill my role. Don't say, I'm looking for a man who is loving and sacrificial. Say, I'd rather be a woman who is submissive and supportive. And God will give exactly what you need. Lift your hands up and let's all talk to God. Everybody, lift your hands and talk to God. Ask God to have his own way and take control. Paul said, I'm speaking a mystery. It's a mystery. But I'm speaking concerning Christ and his church. Father, bless us. Bless your children. Help your children, oh God. Help us to unravel the mystery of marriage so we can love, we can enjoy the blessing of this marriage. We thank you. We bless you. We give you glory and give you praise. I pray, oh God, that we be doers of your word and that you be glorified in our lives. We thank you, Father, for this morning. In the name of Jesus, every head bowed and every eye closed. If you are here this morning and you are not born again, you don't know Jesus, you are not sure that when you die, you go to heaven,
at this service, in this little meeting, I'd like to pray with you. Today, on this Sunday after Valentine's Day, you want to receive the greatest exhibition of love. For God so loved that he gave. For God so loved that he gave. Today, if you're here now, you want to say, Bishop, I need the love of God. I need the love of Christ. For God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Today, on this special occasion, you want to say, Bishop, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done many wrong things. But today, I want Jesus to come into my heart and make me a brand new person. If you're here right now and you need Jesus in your life, you want to be born again, lift up your right hand and I shall pray with you. Lift your hand up high. I see your hands. Let it go higher than your head. God bless you. God bless. I see so many of you. Lift it higher than your head because I want to pray for you especially. Let it go high. Today you can receive Christ, the one who sacrificed his life, who sacrificed his comfort, who sacrificed his place in heaven and came to die for you. You can receive his love. Father, behold every hand that is lifted. Save us. Make us brand new people. If you have lifted your hand up, I want you to walk from where you are and come to me in the front here. Just come.
Happy day.
Happy day.
Happy day. When Jesus washed my sins away. Oh, he's on behalf to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day.
Keep coming, we're waiting for you.
Happy day. Happy day. Happy day. When Jesus washed,
he taught me how to worship.
Taught me how to watch and pray and rejoice every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
Bless your eyes with me. Lift your two hands up high, all of you in front here. Can you lift your two hands up high? I'm going to lead you in prayer. And I want you to make this your personal prayer. And I want the whole church to join us as we pray. Say after me, Heavenly Father, this Sunday morning, I give my heart to you. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Wash away my sins. Please write my name in the book of life. From today, I promise to serve you. I promise to follow you. I promise to trust in you the rest of my life. From today, say after me, from today, I am yours and you are mine. From today, I belong to you. Jesus, write my name in the book of life. My name is, now mention your name. My name is, say Jesus, please write my name in the book of life. From today, I am born again. I am a child of God. I will serve Jesus the rest of my life. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.